In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many, many years ago, I think it was actually when I was at university, it was the end of the day. I was relaxing, trying to let my mind wander as I listened to some Christmas music. Verging, you might say, on sleep. But I was listening to some familiar carols, and they were actually playing in the background as I was trying to read. And I wasn't really paying that much attention to them until I heard certain words. Suddenly I heard the sentence, "Mary, did you know?" And I hadn't ever recalled having heard that Christmas song or carol before. And if I had, I certainly hadn't paid any attention to it at all. What made it particularly meaningful at the time was that I had been reflecting on the reading from Luke's Gospel for today on that day, and thinking about Mary's role in the birth of Jesus. So again, as I prepared for this sermon, I listened again, as I do often, "Mary, did you know?" And as I listened to it again, it seemed that the songwriter was talking to Mary and asking her this, and I make no apologies for reading the carol. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy will come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy will walk where angels have trod? And when you kiss your little boy, you have kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule all nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am." For some reason, this time listening to the song, I wanted to find out a little bit more about the writer and the story behind it. And I found that people talked about this song as God's gift to the world that came from a most unlikely source. The writer, if you're not aware, is someone called Mark Lawrie. And he's described like this. "Mark never stops moving. He seems to have the energy of three primary school children and the curiosity of a dozen four-year-old children. Probably because the Lord knows that the world couldn't handle more than one Mark Lawrie at one time. There is no one quite like him. He was often a problem in the classroom and had absolutely no athletic ability whatsoever. To many adults and children alike, Mark appeared to be a little more than an energetic kid, an out-of-control mini tornado." Lawrie talks about his childhood with a good deal of humour and says this about himself. "When I was a kid, my hyperactivity was always getting me into trouble. Most people figured I would grow up to be a criminal and end up in prison. But a little voice inside me convinced me that I was a failure, that I would never amount to anything. I had what's known today as attention deficit disorder. But back then, I was called a brat. And I wasn't your normal brat. I was the type of kid that when people met me, they knew why animals eat their young." Mark's parents must have despaired at times when their dreams for their little boy weren't being realized, but instead of focusing on the negatives, they emphasized the gift that Mark had. He could sing. So in 1984, when he was 26 years old, his minister asked him to write a Christmas program for his church. So Mark wrote a series of questions that he would ask Jesus' mother Mary if he was to meet her. This became the carol, "Mary, did you know?" This carol became a song that has been described as one of God's great gifts to the world. And Mark continues to this day, giving testimony to God's love through his humor and his music, and has won numerous gospel music awards. It's very strange how God can use a young person like Mark, described by an observer of his hyperactivity as a raccoon in human form, or who others thought would end up as a criminal in jail. Mark even thought of himself as a failure and would never amount to anything, and yet look how God chose the least significant and has done mighty things through him. And reflecting on that, it reminded me so much of Mary in today's gospel reading. Now, Mary wasn't quite a raccoon in human form, hyperactive, an energetic kid, a poet or a songwriter. No, actually, I'm wrong. In fact, I can't say she wasn't any of these, because we don't actually know that much about Mary, do we? Look at the introduction to Mary we get in Luke's Gospel. God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman. Her name was Mary. Her name was Mary, is all that Luke can tell us about her. Here is the woman who was about to take center stage in a Christmas story, and all we're told is her name is Mary. And Matthew introduces her saying Jesus' mother Mary, was engaged to Joseph. We could have been given a little bit more information about Mary, could we not? What was she like? How old was she? Did she have any brothers or sisters? Did she have morning sickness and cravings? And I wouldn't mind asking questions like Mark Lowry does. When you kissed your little baby, did you actually realize that you were kissing the face of God? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? But I guess that's the point of knowing little about Mary. We know so little about her, and even less actually about Joseph, and yet they are given the most important job in all of history, to care and protect the Son of God when he is a vulnerable and helpless baby and child. This insignificant couple, who barely rate a mention outside of the Christmas story, are chosen not because of their brilliance or their wealth or their importance, but because God had a plan and he could see into their hearts, the hearts of these two people, and knew that they were the perfect parents to carry out the human side of his plan. The raising and nurturing of a child from a baby to boyhood to become a man who was honorable, wise, and godly. Mary and Joseph may have been humble folk from the outer edges of Israel, but they shared a secret about their son that later the whole world would know. Mary was told at the time of the conception by the angel Gabriel, "You will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was." And later in the temple, Simeon told her that sorrow like a sharp sword will break her heart when she watches her son die a terrible death. Joseph is also told that Mary's child has come from God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy about a virgin who will have a child. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Joseph knew the scriptures and would have linked the prophecies about the Messiah to what he had been told about the boy who was to be named Jesus. Joseph doesn't read a mention in the Bible after Jesus' visit to the temple when he was 12, and Mary only a few times more. But let's not underestimate the very important role they had in obediently, willingly, and faithfully doing their part to watch over and guide their firstborn son in those early years. They might have been nobodies in the eyes of King Herod and his court, and even the people of Nazareth. But to use Mark Lowry's words, the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am, Yahweh himself. So So why does God choose people like Mary and Joseph and a bloke like Mark Laurie, who it seems was destined to be a failure, to do amazing things for him? In fact, if you think about so many of the Bible characters, you see that God does this again and again and again. He chooses the most unlikely people to do important things. A shepherd boy saves the army of Israel by slaying a giant and then becomes the most famous king Israel has ever seen. Who were the people Jesus called to be his disciples? Fishermen, tax collectors, a zealot, who today would be known as a terrorist, a thief. No one but the ordinary people. Who were the first people to hear about the good news that will bring joy to everyone? That today in David's town, your Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. They were the least important people of all, shepherds. People at the bottom of the social ladder, nobodies. God's angels came to these nobodies, and they were the first to kneel before God in the flesh and became the first evangelists and missionaries as they told everyone they had met what they had seen and heard. So is it possible that God would do that sort of thing today? Call on an ordinary person like you or me to carry out some kind of extraordinary task, or even a task that is not so extraordinary, but still requires us to get out of our comfort zone and step out and do something. The willingness and obedience of Mary and Joseph is what they were asked to do, was really remarkable. Is it possible that God could do that today and challenge us to the same kind of obedience and faithfulness? See, throughout history, God hasn't changed his ways of calling people to carry out his will and giving them special tasks that bring the light of God's love into the lives of many people around us. So be ready to be surprised, just as Mary and Joseph were when God called them to step up to an important challenge. Pray that your response might be like that of Mary's. I'm ready to serve God in whatever way you think I'm able. When everybody else only saw Mark Laurie as a brat, God saw a boy and then a young man with a beautiful voice, a unique sense of humor, and the gift of poetry. Yes, he was born different, but his energy and his curiosity gave him a different perspective of things. And out of that God-given uniqueness came a song written about a very special mother and her son. God has gifted each and every one of us differently. Each of us is unique and special, a unique and special creation of God the Creator. Each and every one of us are loved by him and redeemed by him. I wonder how God will surprise each of us with the challenges he will place before us. I wonder how well we will respond to that challenge. It will be easy to say, why me? God has heard it all before. Great men like Moses, Jonah, Jeremiah were reluctant doers of God's will. But when they got past their hesitancy, God did great things through them. God promised to be with them, and they trusted that promise. That's all they needed, trust. We have a Savior whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. During the rest of this Advent and this Christmas season, going into a new year, which we hope will be easier than this, may he be with us, in us, above us, beside us, and before us, as hopefully each and every one of us, when the challenge is put to us by God, will follow Mary's example and be like her and respond. Wherever you lead me, Lord, that's what I want to do, and that's where I want to go. Amen.